In other words, by a chassid standing in front of the Rebbe, he's going to come and ask the Rebbe about Gashmi. He's going to come and ask the Rebbe about. And he meant the chassid, he sat in Yechidus, he told the Rebbe, Rebbe, glaive me, believe me, I don't care. He didn't stand in Yechidus by the Rebbe and lie to him. He said, believe me, I don't care, he didn't care. I don't know if it means that he never cared. It means that at least when he was standing in front of the Rebbe, he didn't care. But the Rebbe told him, I care. If the Rebbe cares, then you have to ask him about the Gashmis. Does the Rebbe care? Mendel Futterfuss said over that he was once by the Rebbe in Yechidus, and the Rebbe said to him that he should write upon specifically about the refuah, about his health. So he said to the Rebbe, I included it in the pan that he gave by the Yechidus. I included it. The Rebbe said, could I write a separate one just well? And he said he forgot about it and he never got around to actually doing it. And he said that year he had such terrible health problems. That year, that, you know, he learned his lesson. That if the Rebbe says something, you do it. Rebbe says something, you do it. Health wasn't on his mind. He wasn't asking. It wasn't on his list of concerns. He wasn't coming to ask for help. The Rebbe said, I want you to ask me for help. I want you to ask me. So the lesson is that the Rebbe wants me to the Rebbe wants me to go to the ends of the world, I go to the ends of the world. The Rebbe wants me to ask about health, I'll ask about health. Doesn't matter what do you want from me? When that's the nature of the relationship, then if the Rebbe says in Tafshin Lamed Ches, if the Rebbe says what I want from you is to dance, that's what I want you to do. I want you to dance and be happy. Then I can dance and be happy. Why? Because that's what the Rebbe wants from me. What? If my relationship with the Rebbe is what do I want from him? If something happens which is causing the Rebbe pain and is causing the Rebbe, then my natural instinct is to feel pain and to cry and to be broken up. My relationship with the Rebbe is, Rebbe, what do you want from me? The Rebbe says, I want you to dance. Oh, I want you to dance. I dance. And the Rebbe says, I want you to dance and I want you to enjoy it. I don't want you to just dance and cry while you're dancing. I want you to dance and I want you to truly, genuinely be happy. Because for previous, it's good. That's what you want from me? Then that's what you want. So it's dafka through action. It's dafka through asiya. It's dafka through action. It's dafka through connecting to God's very essence. Through action, that one experiences, that one is able to go out of all of one's own personal limitations, all of one's own personal hagbolas, because as long as I have some vested interest there, I want something, then I can only go so far as that which gets me what I want. But if the only thing I want is that you should get out of me whatever you want, that the Avisha should get from me what he wants, so that I have no limitations. Whatever the Avisha wants, that's what he gets. If I'm deciding what to give and what to get, then I'm going to decide based on my assessment of what my capacities are. If the Avisha is deciding, he gets what he wants. Because he doesn't have those limitations. And that's why Geula is dafka down here in Eilu HaZagash. True Geula is dafka in the physical world. What's true Geula? The Rebbe brings from the mind of the Rebbe Marash that Gan Eden is Tainug Nivra. The delight that a created being experiences it in the revelation of godliness. Geula, Yemei Samashiach, Tchias HaMesim is Tainug Borei. The revelation of God in the physical world is the revelation of God's pleasure, God's delight. When I'm relating to God's will and to God's delight, Tainug Beirut Tainam, that is Geula. I'm out of my own limitations. I could go as high as I want, the highest levels of Gan Eden. I'm still busy being a Nivra. I'm still busy relating as a created being. I'm still busy experiencing my own createdness. Through action down here in the physical world, through bringing God into the physical world, I'm relating to Creator. I'm experiencing how I am part of the Creator, not how I'm part of the creation. When I experience how I'm part of the Creator, then there are no limitations. The Creator has no limitations. Dano Hagbol. And there's no opposition from the world. Because the world cannot oppose its Creator. One creation could oppose another creation. But a creation can't oppose its Creator. So if I experience myself as I am part of the Creator, then I don't experience opposition from the creation. There are no limitations, not from within myself and not from the world around me. So it's dancing on Simchas Torah when all your natural instincts are screaming, sit and cry. The doctor said there was a massive heart attack. When all your natural instincts as a created being are to sit and cry, but the devil says, dance and be happy. And you dance and you be happy. That is the key to transcending all the akbolas, all the alamas vesterim, all the concealments. So the geula of Rosh Chodesh Kislev is not as much about the geula of the personal recovery of the Rebbe. The geula of Rosh Chodesh Kislev is just as much about the personal redemption of the chassidah. The ability to dance when the Rebbe says dance. To be happy when the Rebbe says be happy. To do when the Rebbe says do. Even if all your instincts are pulling you in the opposite direction. And the same thing in the time we're living in now. The Rebbe says, the Sikha says, Geula. Your eyes scream Geulas. Everything around you, everything that you see, screams concealment. Alamas Vesteira. Because you're looking at it from your perspective. You're looking at it from your perspective, then that's what you see. From the perspective of your natural instincts, it's all concealment. It's all Alamas Vesteira. That's true. That's what you see. No one's denying what you see. But if you could put aside for a moment your natural feelings, if you could put aside for a moment what your experience, your feelings, your instincts, and look and see, what does the Rebbe say? What does Teda say? What does the Eivishta say? Then not only can you continue and do what it is that you're supposed to do, but you could actually experience, see the geula the pnimius of what's happening, which is gula. But it all starts with action. It all starts with action, whether I feel like it or not. That's if I can. The more it goes against my natural instincts, the more it goes against my natural feelings, the more it goes against my... the more I am freeing myself of all my limitations and all my restraints. So part of accepting Mashiach, part of accepting Mashiach, part of being Mekabel Panei Mashiach Sukeinu, is developing that kind of a relationship, which says, not what do I want from you, but what do you want from me? And if you see, and there's an unbelievable illustration of this, is the fact that when the Rebbe first came out and said to Sichov, do everything you can, there was a group of people, a shliach in a certain country, that got together a bunch of signatures in which they wrote that the Rebbe is Mashiach, and being that the Rebbe is Mashiach, he has to bring the Geula and take the Yidden out of Golos. And they sent in these signatures to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe sent it right out, and he said that Mamish was, this is totally not the Kavon. 2 days later, in 770, someone came up with an alternate suggestion. The alternate suggestion was that to collect signatures, and the signatures should say what? That we accept the Rebbe as Melech HaMashiach, and we will do anything and everything that the Rebbe wants in order to bring the Gula. Just a slight variation in the Nusach. Instead of writing, we accept the Rebbe as Mashiach, therefore the Rebbe should do and bring the Gula, it was a slight change. We accept the Rebbe as Mashiach, and therefore we will do everything in our power to the point of Mesiras Nefesh to bring the Gula. So the Rebbe answered, thank you very much. And it should be an ongoing, a pa'ul and imshachas, an ongoing activity, and it should increase. Well, before that, the person sent the signatures accepting the Rebbe as Mashiach, and the Rebbe says, you missed the boat. And here the Rebbe says, thank you very much, continue, good work. What was the difference? The difference was like this. A person who relates to the Rebbe as Mashiach and says, look, Rebbe, you're Mashiach, therefore you should do for me. You're Mashiach, so do for me. The Rebbe says, you missed the boat. That's not what we're talking about here. Kabbalah's B'nai Mashiach Sitenu means that you're Mashiach, therefore what can I do for you? Now you got it. Now you got it. You can't. To say, I'm a chef, therefore your question is now, what can you do for me? Oh, you hit the nail on the head. That's what it's all about. In the world of natural healing, so a lot of what they do has to do with relaxation techniques. And they say that the hardest thing for people to do is to let go. Relax. Just relax. Let go. Let the tension out. Let go. They say that when people go out, it's cold outside, your natural instinct is to tense up. So it's the worst thing. It's the worst thing. And they showed that people, they showed that they could demonstrate that people who tense up in the cold, what happens is when you get into a state of tension, your immune system goes into overdrive because you're fighting something. And that causes the immune system to be weakened. It gives an extra spurt. And it causes the immune system to be weakened, then you're more likely to catch a cold. But a person who resists his natural instinct to fight the cold, and he relaxes, they say by relaxing, when you go out into the cold and you relax, and you let yourself experience the cold, it strengthens your immune system, and you won't catch a cold. Not only that, there's people who have taken this a lot further. There's people who dafka on winter mornings take a freezing cold shower and practice relaxation in this freezing cold shower. And when they do that, they're able to go outdoors in the cold with very little protection. They don't need, they can go out without coats, they keep windows open, the cold doesn't bother them. There's people who even go swimming, break the ice and go swimming. And that's it. And they walk around in the cold, they're not affected by the cold. If you could relax in the cold, then you could develop, it's an amazing thing, if you try to fight the cold, then the cold is going to win. If you can let go, just let go, relax in the cold, then you win. Not you win. Then the cold is not the enemy anymore. If you can relax, if you can let go, then cold won't bother you. And it's an amazing thing. People do this all the time. I mean, so what's the word here? You see an amazing thing. That the instinct, that people's instinct is to try to take control of a situation. To try to be in control. To relinquish control, to let go, is much harder for people than to fight. You would think the opposite. Relax! Just take it easy. Relax, let go. You don't have to do anything. You have to stop doing. Just relax. But the idea of letting go, I have to feel that I'm in control, that I'm in the need to feel that I'm doing something about it, I'm in control on it. We see that, look, when it comes to Golas and Geula, developing a relationship with the Rebbe and a relationship with the Eibushter, which is based on what do you want? I don't want anything. I don't want anything, I don't need anything. Relax! You got it! I'm just, whatever you want. No resistance. To stop resisting. Just let go. Give up. Instead of sitting and fighting for control, for just let go. Let go. Give it up. Give up your life. Today is to let go. What do you, instead of fighting for your life, just let go. And you know what happens? You end up with a much better life than if you spend your whole life fighting for it. You spend your whole life fighting for your life, fighting for your ego, fighting for your identity, fighting for your... Stop fighting! Give it up! If you give it up, you come to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, you know what? I don't care about partners. Then the Rebbe says to you, I do. When you come to the Rebbe, you say, Rebbe, Parnassus. The Rebbe says, what about learning? What about davening? When you come to the Rebbe, says, Rebbe, learning, davening, I don't care about Parnassus. Then the Rebbe says, what about Parnassus? When you give yourself over, then you end up with everything. Then you have it all. It's when you're trying to take for yourself. You're trying to grab. You're fighting for your piece of the pie. You're fighting for your, for what's in it for me. You're fighting to be in some kind of control in the relationship. That's where you experience the alamus vestel, the concealment. And you let go. You give yourself over to them and say, no, I don't care about anything. I only care about you. What do you want? You want to know what I want? I want that you should learn. I want that you should daven. I want that you should have panosa. I want that you should have children. I want that you should have a good life. I want that you should have all these things. That's what the Rebbe wants. That's what the Hebrew wants. More than the calf wants to nurse, the mother wants to feed. The Rebbe wants to pour brachas without any limit. But in order to be a keli for those brachas, how are you a keli for those brachas? I don't care. I don't do that.
But what if you say I don't care
because he knows, then you're going to be a case for God? No. So then, but then you really care. You know, it's not honest. You're just saying it. You're just saying it. When you live it, when you live your life that way, when you live your life that nothing matters. The only thing that matters is what the devil wants. Nothing else matters. In the beginning, you have to force yourself. You have to force yourself to let go. When you go out into the cold and your instinctive reaction to go like this, you have to like force yourself to not, right? Because you're overcoming your instinctive reaction. But then you adjust. Initially you're forcing yourself to go against your natural instincts and reactions, but then if you practice it and you live that way, you adjust and that becomes your reality. You learn to let go. Living in a gewulah reality means you have nothing to worry about. Your whole concern is now tainug b'ri. God's delight. Don't forget about yourself. There's no forget all the people who were in Gan Eden are now it's time for them to come down here. We're past Gan Eden. Gan Eden is passe, old hat. Them days are gone. Time to move on. To Tainik Bede. Tainik Bede, who cares? Who cares about anything else? Who cares about anything else? The Fakir, Dafke in the Mesa Mashiach, it says, that then is Kala Madana Matsim Kafar, and then there's everything. When you're not coming with your hand out, I want. Give me, I want. Who are you? You deserve it. Who are you? When you come and say, I don't want. I'm excited about what you're excited about. I want what you want. Then the Rebbe says, you don't want. You I can give. Without any limits, because you don't want. If you go out of your limits, then you can be macabre without any limits. If you come into the relationship with all your limitations, then what you can get out of it is very limited. If you come into the relationship by putting away all your limitations, which is, who cares what I want? Who cares what I think? Who cares what I feel? What do you want? Then you're a keli to receive the brachas without any limitation. Then you're a keli to experience the gula, to experience your own personal going out of all limitations, and the world going out of all limitations, and experiencing the revelation of the tainug b'ri in Elam HaZagash.
You still brush your teeth
because
nobody wants
to. Of course. Because there's a whole section in Shulchan Aruch with the laws of how you take care of yourself. So whatever it is that you have to do to take care of yourself, take care of it. Just that everyone's. in order to do what he wants more effect.
Beyond that, it's just you. Not just taking care of yourself, but whatever those things are that just you want for yourself. Supposed to be now it's time to go.
In other words, now the Rebbe says, now we're ready to have a relationship with God Himself. This is something that Amo said about the Alter Rebbe, that the Alter Rebbe was on such a level that when he was in Dveikus, he said, God, I don't want your Gan Eden, I don't want your Olam Haba, I just want you yourself. The Alter Rebbe, when he was in his highest state of ecstasy, he was able to relate directly to the Eibishter himself. The Rebbe says, now, that has to look at chilah be the nature of the relationship that every Jew has with the Eibishter. I don't want anything. What do you want? My pleasure is your pleasure. What turns you on? Dira b'tachtenim turns you on? Give out. Then that's what I want too. And I enjoy it. That'll be my biggest geschmack. To see another place in Elam Hazem where godliness is revealed. Because that's what you want. That's what gives you pleasure. And that's what I want. And God always gets what he wants. In the end, after all the haggling and all the fighting and all the resistance and all the arguing and all the kvetching and all the passive aggressive resistance and all that, in the end God gets what he wants. So you might as well just let go. Stop fighting.
Best for us. It's not like it.
Yeah. That's the whole point. The point is that it's an amazing thing. I mean, that you see, even Begashmius, this concept, that by fighting, by resisting something, by trying to fight for your survival, you undermine your survival. By letting go and just accepting what comes, that itself strengthens. That itself enhances your survival. It's an amazing concept. There was a guy that had this whole revolution. It's a famous book by Aldous Huxley called The Art of Seeing. It was based on the discovery of some guy named Bates that said that the way you cure most people when they have trouble seeing something, what do? They strain to see it. He said the way to improve your vision is not by straining, but by relaxing. And he said that he could cure people who are nearsighted by teaching them how to relax their eyes. Your natural instinct when it's something unfamiliar, when something's not registering, is to strain to see it. If you go again, if you resist that natural instinct, and instead you train your eyes to relax, you can actually reverse nearsightedness. And Aldous Huxley wrote a whole book because he actually did it, and he actually fully reversed his own nearsightedness, and he gave up. He had one glasses his whole life, and he was already an older man at the time, and he had given up. He reversed his, you know, following these exercises, he reversed his nearsightedness, and he wrote a bestseller about it. But here again, same concept. Your natural instinct is to strain, and that's what causes it's the strain that causes the nearsighted. If you learn to relax, then you see. To let go. This is the similar concept that sometimes. Sometimes it is the the survival instinct that's working against you. As human beings, we're not meant to operate by instinct. They were meant to transcend their instincts. So for a human being, your instincts are work against you. When you transcend your instincts and you let go, then you end up with the thing that you were trying to get through your natural instinct. In fact, I mean, this guy claims that he got people to 2010, but not only to 2020, but he got them to 2010. That's the idea. By being bottled, people think that by being bottled, I'll have nothing. You got to fight for your right to live, to exist. You got to fight for every penny. You got to fight for every. You got to get out there and life just, and struggle. Which is what Golos is about. I mean, that's the curse. The curse of the other Rishon is, you have to sweat, you have to struggle. The Rebbe is saying now, but in Geula it's the other way. In Geula, if the guy sweats and he struggles, well, he's wasting his time. He's wasting his energy because everything is available without sweat, without strain. If you're sweating and straining, you're working. You're undermining yourself. So here the Rebbe says, okay, if you let go and you give yourself over, and you're totally bottled, that's when you end up with, and your focus becomes Tainik Beire, instead of Tainik Nivra, what's in it for you instead of what's in it for me, then you end up with everything.
The example is like all the book about the sights and the relaxing into the calls and all that stuff. Is that one of the examples of taking something that's like Sitra Achra, using something that's Kedusha, but using it for their own purposes? You know, like really what this concept is meant to do is to be able to rebuttal towards the Avishtra's will, but then you could also take this and use it
I mean, obviously, you know, they're onto something here, but they don't know, they don't appreciate what they're onto. I mean, they're utilizing these ideas for their own selfish purposes, but really these concepts are meant to illustrate this idea, this Torah and Avedis Hashem. The Rebbe says it's not just that from everything you're supposed to learn Torah and Avedis Hashem, but the real purpose of the existence of that thing is the lesson that you learn from. That's its really true purpose. So obviously they're onto something, and it extends to many, many other areas of life. There's a guy who wrote a whole book, also a whole bestseller called Diets Don't Work, which is something. Which is something I have to deal with. And he says, same as said, when you're fighting to lose weight, when you're fighting to lose weight, you get into this whole yo-yo effect. Because when you stop fighting, okay, you let go. Let go doesn't mean do whatever you feel like. Let go means, that's it. You do the things that you know. You know, it's the way he says it is, let's start thinking like a thin person. Instead of thinking that I'm this fat person and I have to make myself, just start thinking like a thin person. How would a thin person eat? It's when you get into the fight. In fact, he said that what he did. When people would come to him, he had a whole sports health and fitness center. So when people would come to him that they can't gain weight, so what he would do is he would put them on a diet. They were underweight. He would put them on a diet for 10 days. And they would come in, they were underweight to begin with. They were coming in after 10 days, like ready to pass out. And then he would say, okay, now go back to eating the way you used to. And they would all put on weight. Because they would all not only go back to their original weight, but they would go up. So in other words, that the yo-yo effect is not only the people who are already overweight, that they go back. So the people who are underweight, if they diet it for 10 days, when they started eating again, they would go back plus. Because when you force yourself one way, it creates in the body the opposite response. The resistance, you create the resistance. When you stop fighting yourself, you stop working with yourself. Like Hasidus says, you don't fight the body, you work with the body. You stop fighting with yourself and you work with yourself, so then you can succeed.
Does this mean that the Avodah of Iskafia is over? I mean, the Avodah of Iskafia that's the fighting.
No, even in Iskafia, there's two ways of Iskafia. There's still Iskafia, but it's a different Iskafia. Here the Iskafia is to let go. It's a reverse Iskafia. It's your natural instincts are to fight, to go against your natural instincts, to force yourself to go against your natural inclination. And that's what Chassidus calls it. The Rebbe just explains that there's two types. There's Iskafia. And in Basi Ligani, the Friedrich Rebbe keeps referring to Iskafia Hamev Ilideyas Hapka. Which is not a common terminology. You know, throughout Chassidus, Iskafia Hamev Ilideyas Hapka is not a common terminology. So Friedrich Rebbe is using it. So the Rebbe says, what's the diak that the Friedrich Rebbe keeps saying? Iskafia Hamev Ilideyas Hapka. I say it's a different kind of Iskafia. There's an Iskafia that's Iskafia. And Al Rebbe says in Tanya that a Benini shouldn't feel bad if he spends his whole life doing Iskafia and he never gets to his Hapka, because that's the Eibush that takes delight in that also. So that's Iskafia that Lav Dafka brings to his Hapka. But the feeling of Rebbe is saying that there's an Avodah of Iskafia, maybe there is Hapka. Of an Iskafia that it's the whole purpose of the Iskafia is to experience his Hapka. It's to experience transformation. The forcing, which leads to transformation, is not when you force yourself. It's not when you resist. But rather when you force yourself to stop resisting and to work with. To bring everything in. When you force yourself to do a tzapcha.
This delight that God has, is it so much a selfish thing, or does He love us more than?
I'm sorry.
Does God have self motives really? Does he have something for Himself, or does He love us more than Him? And yes, there's no such thing as Him having selfish. Just like we're supposed to have this feeling towards Him, that there's nothing for us.
In order, what God wants is He wants to have a relationship with us at the level of essence. We should be able to relate to Him. In order for us to achieve that, we have to first be able, He's set up a situation where in order for us to reveal our essence and relate to Him on the level of His essence, we have to first shed our outer layers. We have to let go of our outer layers, and then we could have that kind of relationship with Him. So really, when we come into the relationship saying to God, what do you want from me? that's ultimately really the reason why God set up this whole system, where in order to have a relationship with him, I have to come to the point of awareness and recognition that the nature of the relationship is what do you want from me, was in order that he did all that in order that he should be able to establish a relationship with us. He did that for our sake too. Because the Rebbe says that it's since all of creation is for the sake of the Jewish people, so even the decision to have the desire to have a dira v'tachtenim is really ultimately for the sake of the Jewish people too. So even this whole process is really only for your benefit. So what's wild about this whole thing is that we're coming along and saying, listen, people, the Rebbe is coming along and saying, people, I have good news for you. The time of your redemption has arrived. Good news, redemption. Ah, shucks, redemption. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do with this redemption? And one of the first things the Rebbe spoke about was that people are afraid of Geula. They're afraid they're going to lose everything. They're going to give everything up. They're going to lose everything they worked their whole life for. So they ever said, "Oh, see," they said, no, you don't have to be afraid of Gula. It's not bad for you. See, it's good for you. It's good, not bad. Why? Because, again, your natural instinct is, what do you mean? I spent my whole life, I worked, I built something up, I made a life for myself, and all of a sudden my whole life is going to go out the window. All of a sudden I'm supposed to pick up on a cloud and go to this... go to Eretz Yisrael and leave everything behind, and so did I? No. See, it's good for you, but our resistance to change, we resist change, and the whole secret of change is to stop resisting. Let go. We walk around screaming, we want to change, we want to change. And our biggest instinct is to resist change. People pay, the biggest industries in America today are change. How do I change? How do I lose weight? How do I stop smoking? How do I straighten out my relationships? How do I become a mensch? How do I become more giving? How do I become more caring? How do I become successful? I want to change. Everyone wants to change. So what's the problem? Why? How come no one's changing? Because they all want to change, and they all have this tremendous resistance to change. They're fighting it. The guy's screaming, "I want to change," and he's fighting it. He says, "Stop fighting. What are you fighting? Relax." Today, if you want to change, you have to relax. It used to be that if you wanted to change, you had to break yourself first. Now it's the reverse. If you want to change, you have to stop, relax, let go, and you'll change. Because you're living in times of Geula. Change is natural. Now you're resisting nature. Before, when you wanted to change in Geulas, if you were trying to change, you have to break nature. Nature is inertia. And in order to bring change, you have to break nature. Geula is fakir. The natural... the process of Geula is change. Change is natural. You have to resist the change in order to stay in Geula. So basically all we're saying is accept it. Accept it. Accept the new reality. Be mekabel it. Accept it. Stop fighting. It's not easy to stop fighting. You spent thousands of years fighting. All of a sudden, you stop fighting.